Let's turn in the scriptures now to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians, chapter 2. And we will be reading verses 1 through 30, the whole chapter. Philippians, chapter 2. Let's hear now the word of the Lord, starting in verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way, and share your joy with me. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of His proven worth, that He served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore I hope to send him immediately, as soon as I see how things go with me, and I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what it was deficient in your service to me. And that is the word of the Lord from Philippians chapter 2. The Lord, through Paul, calls us here to a very high calling of humility, regarding others as more important than yourselves. That is to love as Christ loved us. It's the same thing we heard in 1 John chapter 4. He goes on, he shows how Christ humbled himself, who being God, yet he became man. That is, he was God and man. He did not lose his divinity or take off his divinity. And so he became man, and so humbled himself by becoming obedient to his Father, even obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, it says. And in doing so, God exalted him and gave him that name that is above all names. It says in verse 10, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so as He humbled Himself, so you are to humble yourselves, beloved, and obey the Father just as Christ obeyed the Father. Do so when you are with other Christians, but especially when you are not with other Christians, even when you are by yourself in private. You are to obey the Lord always, and in this way you will work out your salvation with fear and trembling before His throne, remembering of who He is. He is God Almighty, all-powerful. And so you must work out your salvation. Thankfully, our obedience, sanctification, that what is, He's saying, work out your salvation, sanctify yourselves. Thankfully, our obedience isn't based upon our own strength, or our own righteousness, or anything else in of ourselves, or going to church, as we heard in the Sabbath school, partaking of the supper. It's not of any of these things. Though those are things that will help, because you hear the Word and you are reminded of what Christ has done. But it is God who works in us by His Spirit through those means. And He works in us both that we would desire and do His good pleasure. That is His will. That is what is written in the Word of God. And if we have the Spirit of Christ in our hearts present with us, then let us restrain ourselves from grumbling and disputing, He says. And that is without pride. Do so with humility, pursuing this working out of our salvation. And obeying our Lord, prove yourselves by your fruit to be blameless, innocent, above reproach, even among a perverse culture around you, Christians, even today. As he was talking about his own culture, it's the same today. It is a perverse culture, a perverse world. To prove yourselves in such a way, hold fast the Word of life, he says. The Word of God. And then Paul rejoices again in his present circumstances. Remember, he's in prison. Because he's being used by the Lord, even as he writes this letter, and he's praying for the Christians in Philippi. He's being used by the Lord to serve God's people at that church and other churches to increase their faith. And how is he doing that but reminding them of the Word of God, reminding them of the Gospel, reminding them of the joy he has in the Gospel, even by his own example. And horrible, suffering circumstances, still joyful and believing strength, strong in faith in the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And then the last part of the passage from verse 19 on, he makes notice and commends two good ministers to them who were coming to them. That is Timothy and Epaphroditus. They are to be received by the church. And he, even at the end there in verse 29 and following, he's basically saying when ministers of the Gospel come to you, no matter who they are, as they have as they're preaching the true gospel, they're not a false prophet, not a false teacher, but a true elder of God who comes with the gospel and bears that testimony. You are to receive them with great joy because they bear the Word of God to you. And so, beloved, let us humble ourselves before our God and praise Him for the sacrifice of His Son that was for us who believe, that we would be what he called us in Ephesians, holy and blameless before him, that we would work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And that's what we're called to here. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you of how you have given us of your Son. And so, Father, humble ourselves. We ask that you would humble us. And we, as we ask that, we know even if we're being honest, with fear and trembling that calling you to humble us could mean hard things to come for us. Because our hearts are filled with pride. We always want to be right. We want to be on the right side of things and to be seen as good and the best and always wanting to win, which in and of themselves aren't always wrong. We should have a desire to do our best when in competition to win. And yet, Father, we know that when we are not the best, or seen as not the best, or not winning, or in conversation or argumentation, debate, which is good, even in those times, when we are found to be wrong, there is often pride in our heart. And so some of us will continue arguing so that the best arguer wins, the best debater wins. And what is right and wrong is, because of our prideful minds and hearts, does not matter. Father, we sometimes, when found to be wrong, we become angry and bitter and we lash out at people. Father, in these ways we do not come to serve one another and doing what is best for each other and the church and for our common man, but we often are prideful. And so, Father, we do ask that You would humble us. And we ask that You would do so with mercy, because we know Your humbling of us could mean great pains. And so, Father, we ask that You would strengthen us. Give us Your Spirit, as You promise here, that You would strengthen us in our faith. You would strengthen us in our humility. For we are not a people, even in our culture, we are not a people who easily humble ourselves. Even when people offer to give us gifts, we, because of pride, refuse them. Even from those in the church. Father, may we humble ourselves. And Father, as we hear Your word, we ask that You would humble ourselves. That You would humble us. That You would bless Your people. That as Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus, they were humbling themselves, all for the sake of the church, all for the sake that the gospel would go forward and be proclaimed, the word of God would go forward. Father, humble us in these ways. That even if we come under great suffering and persecution or trial, we would respond with great joy because of how You are even using these things for our sanctification, using these things for the gospel and the spread of the gospel in the church. Father, we ask that as there are some here who do not know You and are far from You, who have acknowledged the gospel, who have heard the gospel, we ask that You would fix their hearts, that they would believe and trust with their whole being unto salvation, that gospel of Your Son, whom You sent to the cross to die for our sins. Father, we also lift up those who are struggling in body. Think of Karen and Bob and Marie and Sharon and Dina and others, Father, who are sick. We ask that You would strengthen their bodies and heal them and train them, that even through these things You would be working out their salvation and they would be working out their salvation in the Spirit. And Father, we pray for Lillian and the John and the baby that is in the womb, that You would keep that baby healthy and bring her to be born at the right time, and that child would not know one day apart from Your love. and your Son. Father, we also ask that you would, as there's been problems with the immigration process of John, that you would help work that along in our government and bring him here quickly and safely and bring him to his family. Father, we do pray for our government, a government that continues to turn from you and love sin and encourage it among the people, that they continue to allow murder to take place among babies, and yet to murderers and other heinous criminals they let go. Father, we ask that you would save their souls and cause them to rule according to your word. And that is all we can really ask. That you would give us freedom to worship as you have many for many years. Continue that for the future. And yet let us be strengthened to stand firm if persecution were to come. Prepare our hearts for it if it is to come. That we would stand ready and willing to suffer for your name. That itself is a high calling, so we ask that you would humble us. And that we can only ask for in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen.